had to do was call. Sometime was in the morning, sometime late at night. But when I got up off my knees, Jesus, everything was all right.
Been Johnson Temple Church of God in Christ with Pastor Maurice Johnson. Johnson Temple is located at 200 Nona Street, Leesville. Service times are Sunday schools, 9:50 a.m., Sunday morning worship service, 11:15 a.m., Sunday evening worship, 7:45 p.m., Tuesday Bible study, 7:30 p.m., Friday night worship service, 7:30 p.m., prayer Monday through Friday, 9 o'clock to 10 o'clock a.m. Thank you for listening to Johnson Temple, Church of God in Christ.
Hey, tell somebody, say, you stand.
This is KAYT, Gina, Alexandria. This is Gospel Radio at its very best. 88.1 KAYT. Praising the Lord.
Let me hear the worshipers.
You're listening to the radio broadcast of the Mount Zion Missionary Baptist Church, 720 Millrace Road, Boise, Louisiana. Pastor Joseph W. Franklin. Sunday school every Sunday morning at 9:45 a.m. Worship and the Word at 11 a.m. And on third Sunday, the Lord's Supper is observed. Wednesday night, prayer meeting Bible study at 6 p.m. And at 7 p.m., choir rehearsal. You can visit us on the web at www.mounttriumphmbc.com. God bless you.
So many numerous attributes that you can't begin to know them all. And the best that most we can say is he's awesome. But you gotta know that in a personal way, that he's awesome to you. Some your church right here.
Thank you.
Memphis. You've been in Luke for about 2 years now. I don't know if anybody been counting. I guess somebody's saying, I don't know when we're going to get through with Luke. Or when Luke get through with us. We'll be what the Lord would have us to be. Amen. Amen. We got to tell he comes back. I don't know when he's coming back. I don't know if he's going to stop me in Luke. Help me, somebody. Or we're going to move on to another gospel, another track. But we're going to keep on moving. We've made it to the Good Samaritan.
Thank you.
Luke chapter 10, verse 29, 37, and it says, but he, wanting to justify himself, said to Jesus, who is my neighbor? Then Jesus answered and said, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, who stripped him of his clothing, wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead. Now by chance, a certain priest came down that road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. Likewise, a Levite, a priest helper, a deacon, when he arrived at that place, came and looked and passed on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion. So he went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring oil and wine, and he set him on his own animal or beast, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. And on the next day, he paid him up. On the next day, he departed. He took out 2 denarii, 2 days' wages, and gave it to the innkeeper and said to him, take care of him. And whatever more you spend, when I come again, I will repay you. So which of these 3 do you think was neighbor to him who fell among the thieves? And he said, he who showed mercy on him. Then Jesus said to him, go and do likewise. As with the result of faith, but the word about God shall stand forever. We looked at the last time that we preached from these texts. We looked at the question of eternal life and where you will spend eternity. It's good to know where, and it's good to know now, because we don't know what tomorrow may hold. Matter of fact, we don't know what later on this evening is going to hold. Even when we exit from this building, we don't know what is ahead of us, but I'm glad to know the one who does know, for he does hold our hands. But it behooves us, as Sister Franklin said earlier, not to be getting ready, but to be ready. Because again, we don't know when the Lord will call us home. And you need to know where you're going to spend, I said, eternity, because it's one or two places. You're either going to be in heaven with God for all eternity, or in hell, you'll lift up your eyes. If you've not trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior and invited him to come into your heart and to forgive you of your sins, help me, somebody. We are sinners by nature. We are sinners in need of a Savior. Every one of us, help me, somebody, is a sinner. And we need to understand that, and we need to know that. And the only person who can save us from our sin is Jesus Christ. That's what he came to do at Calvary. Calvary, and that was to die for our sin. But you need to acknowledge him as your Savior. You need to ask him to come into your life and forgive you of your sin. You need to acknowledge that you are a sinner. And that's what the trouble was with in the text today. The lawyer thought he was right by what he was doing. I wish I had a witness. He thought that he was just and right with God by keeping the law, which he could not keep. Help me, somebody. By the law, no flesh shall be justified. And so here we saw the last time the argument of the lawyer. We saw the questions of the Savior and the answer of the lawyer. And then finally the affirmation that came from the Savior himself. But here the text opens with a twist, because now that Jesus says you responded and replied correctly, the lawyer now wants to further justify himself. And so here we see the lawyer's clarification. He wanted to know then, who is my neighbor? He went further on to justify himself, and he wanted to know, who is my neighbor? Instead of asking or appealing to the Savior for mercy or pity or compassion and grace, he wanted to be justified in the law. And so Jesus again gives this man a comparison, and gives him an illustrated truth, a parable that was true and relevant for that day. Because Jesus here wanted this man to know the truth. So the Savior here gives a comparison. He gives an illustrated truth. That's what a story or parable is. It's the illustrated truth. And so often he gives that to reveal something, but also it is to conceal something. To those who are being saved, it is revelatory, and it is revelatory, and it is revealing. But to those who are not being saved, it is concealed. And so here he gives this parable. Not only do we see the Savior's comparison, but you need to see in the text here the man's crisis. Because Jesus answered and said, a certain man went down from Jerusalem, which was about 18 miles south and down, because remember, Jerusalem was on a mountain. And this certain man descended from Jerusalem going down to Jericho. A lot of things happened at Jericho. The walls came tumbling down at Jericho. So often the blind were there at Jericho. But Jericho's hilly and rocky plains was a place where thieves and robbers would hide out. They would hide out so they could rob unexpected travelers. Matter of fact, it was always known, if you're going to travel these roads, that there is safety in numbers. It's good to travel with somebody. I wish I had a witness. And the Bible said it's good for two to be able to walk together. It's good to have a buddy with you. It's good to have a partner with you, that if one falls, the other can pick you up. I wish I had a witness here. It's good to have a prayer partner when you're going through something, that you can call a friend. can call on a prayer buddy that will help you and strengthen you. It's good in your marital partnership. Help somebody. A husband and wife to your husband. Amen. It's good to have a prayer. I thank God since Franklin and I, we hit the road 5 days a week, and now we've turned it into six. We get up walking together. And it is good. How can two walk together except they agree? And we have great conversation as we walk together. And can I tell you, it's paying off. Pastor done lost a few pounds. Helping somebody. And I understand that, Brother Tyrone, physical exercise helps you some. But spiritual exercise will help you the most. Because you know these yo-yo diets will be up one day and down the next. You will be thin one moment and those ribs get to looking good. My hamburger, I'm gonna stop this because I'm buying a man on food. Let me get back to your chicken. He gives us this man's crisis. He fell among thieves, robbers. And when he fell among them, they stripped him from the outside to the inside. They took his clothing, and then they wounded him and beat him almost to a very inch of his life. And no, not only that, but they left him half dead. I believe that the lawyers begin to grab a hold of the story. I believe some of you have been there and to grab hold of this story. He has a crisis in his life. He's been left half dead by these robbers. And what the whole case is, here you have a man in need. You see, you can talk about the personal love for God, which the lawyer did, but he forgot about the practical love. Because he said you should love the Lord with all your heart, your mind, your soul, and strength. But he forgot what Leviticus said, that you should love your neighbor as you love yourself. Here it is. This man is in need of aid. He's in need of help. He's in need of assistance. Has anybody ever been there before? When it seems as though your situation has beaten you up, it seems like you've been stripped and you seem like you're at your lowest point. See, you got to be able to walk a mile in somebody else's shoes. You got to be able to sit where somebody else has sit. You have to have not only empathy, but you got to have, Sister Franklin, sympathy. That goes a little further. Notice here the lack of concern for the man. If there's anybody that ought to have given aid to the man, it ought to have been the priest and the Levite. I wish I had a witness. Can I tell you the religious right of pass you up? Now somebody said, well, in their mind, they were only thinking about themselves, that perhaps the robbers were still there, and if they gave aid to the man, that they too would have been robbed and beat up and left for dead. But you know, agape love goes further than that. Agape love is unconditional and is sacrificial. And agape love is cause for suffering and service. Help me, somebody. prophesied. And if anybody ought to help him, it ought to have been the priest. I wish I had a witness here. If anybody ought to give aid to those who are helpless and are hopeless, it ought to be believers. Help me, somebody. The Bible said that we ought to give to those who are in need, and then it says especially to those of a household of faith. Now it's not said, but it's got to be implied that this man who is beaten up and stripped and left for dead, he is a Jew. I wish I had a believer. We're going to see that here in a minute. It looked like they would have helped him. It looked like Christians would help one another. But can I tell you, there are a lot of folk who have a good talk, but they don't have a good walk. Can I tell you, Christian folk will leave you on the sideline. Y'all got quiet here, let me go on. And so there's a lack of concern for the man by religious folk. Matter of fact, many of you heard the story of Booker T. Washington, who was on his way to worship. And he saw this man stuck in a ditch. Help me, somebody. Booker T. Washington was a stately man, and he dressed with fine clothing on. On Sunday morning, he got up and he went to worship dressed up nicely. And Booker T. Washington spotted the man in a ditch. Got off of his own horse and buggy and carriage and stopped to make sure that he pulled this man out of the ditch on a Sunday morning. How many times you pass by a church going to church? I wish I had a believer here.